Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
And that word fullness means to be completely filled, containing all that can be held, filled to the utmost capacity. And so we want to see the fullness of God. And it's going to require our participation. It's just not going to happen, the things of God as it comes. Some of the words that I've used is joyful, thankful, peaceful, hopeful, faithful, graceful, merciful, helpful, mindful, powerful. That was all on a slide that I did want to show you. But we did mess up the sound, guys, and there we go. And we got to display it. We're the ambassadors of Christ. We are the ones that are here to display it to those that are around and say that. They look at us and they say, I want what they have. I want what they have. Because the fullness of God's being displayed. And so we want want you to experience, we want you to carry, we want you to display the fullness of God as this year journeys on. And some of us maybe have just been dragging, and some of us have just not experienced that. But hopefully that as we get the Word of God into you, as you start coming to an understanding that this Word becomes a zoom zoom and it a zoom zoom where it just jumps off the page and starts speaking to you, that you start responding. Val and I jumped into this year and we got blessed with that trip to go to the Holy Land, to Israel, and it was just amazing to be around the Sea of Galilee, and that is 20 miles long and 12 miles wide. It's quite an expanse of water, and 600 feet below sea level, and you realize all that Jesus taught and what was experienced was right there, and it was just unfolding his fullness, that heaven kissed earth right there when heaven came. And we went on to baptize the epic folk, all of us, into the Jordan River as the water leaves the Sea of Galilee. We managed to journey down to Jericho. I mean, it's down to Jericho and down to the Dead Sea. Everything's down from Jerusalem. And we went on to Bethlehem, which is behind, obviously, the Palestinian big wall, and totally safe. It's amazing how it all swings and hangs together. Just amazing. And then obviously got onto Masada and Dead Sea, and then just an eye-opener to see Jerusalem. Obviously, you just always see the old picture, but there is such a modern side of Jerusalem that you seldom see in pictures and stuff. And the lovely thing is, when you kind of work out that, you know, Jesus headed off from the Sea of Galilee all the way to Jerusalem, you think, oh, yeah, on a little walk from here to the Palm Coast. No, it's like from here to Daytona. It's like heck of a long walk. I mean, and so, yeah, there wasn't any buses like we kind of journeyed on, but it was just great. Now, it's just suddenly brought the Word of God into 3D for me. When you're reading about where Moab was, and you know, Moab was hanging around those mountains. That's where they were. So it was really great. And so the fullness of God was just amazing. So I've started the series because you have it. You have it. And I want to just carry on with that because, man, I've got to kind of pound it in. They say wisdom is pounded in. So I want to just kind of pound it in because the renewing of your mind, the renewing of a habit, and having faith, believing faith, it just doesn't happen. It's a process of intentionality that we've got to do this because we've been programmed, we've been indoctrinated from professors, from educational systems, from all the different medias, all the different educational systems, and so now we have a life that we've come to Christ, and so we are battling this stuff that we've heard from the world, and maybe we've heard it from being under a religious setup, and now God is saying, I need you to understand that you have something. And I've given it to you so that you can distribute it. You can be the vessels through which divine favor flows. And so I'm wanting to continue to drill into that. I don't know if Sam Benoit is here, Sam. But Sam is, it's a lady that actually comes from Zimbabwe. And she teaches on the science of the brain. And her name's Caroline Leaf. And it talks about breaking the habits of your thinking, the way you think. And how some go into a 63-day program of just reprogramming your brain because your brain cuts ruts in it. And so you kind of got a groove of thinking. And so we used to have, before the asphalt came to to Africa or to Rhodesia, we wanted to go to the Zambezi Valley, they would have a sign there, choose your rut for the next 60 miles. Because the ruts were so deep, you'd get your vehicle in and there was no ways of getting out of it. You just stayed in that rut. So they said, choose your rut for the next 60 miles. And that's what happens in our brain. Our brains are grooved in thinking, oh, you know, healing passed on with the apostles. And you kind of had that groove that not healings is not for today. You get that groove, and that's and you have all this doubt and unbelief grooved into your brain. So you need to continually do what the Romans 10:17 says. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so what it's doing is what actually Caroline Leaf, who's a Christian believer, talks about: reprogramming the brain. Because if not, we will not walk into the fullness of what God has called us to. And so we want to be able to do that. And so the first three Sundays I jumped into teaching and sharing about what we have. And what do you have? You already have it, and you have what it takes. It's kind of the titles. I was hitting it from different angles to try and explain, intentionally trying to drill down and get some doubt and unbelief out of our lives and stop and allow us to think and say, hey, we're not on this just merry road, just kind of waiting to die, waiting to rapture, waiting to leave. God says, occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. It requires us to actually bring the kingdom and occupy until he comes. So he didn't allow us just to do that. And this all spurred when I was out at sea in the Atlantic doing the Atlantic crossing in November. I was reading in the Acts, and it was all in Peter and John going up to the temple at 3 p.m. to a prayer meeting, to a prayer service, when he encountered a lame man from birth that was placed there every day to beg for alms. And Peter engaged in a conversation with him, and he said this in verse 6. It says, silver and gold, obviously, is the lame man was asking. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. That thing, what I do have, grabbed me and just made me start unpacking again a truth that I learned when I was young in the Lord. But you know, you hear it, but you don't hear it. And I started hearing it for the first time, jump off the page. And it's, what do you have? And what I do have, I give to you. And what he gave that lame man got him off that lame situation from birth. Those legs didn't even know how to walk, didn't know how to stand. And not only that, not only walked, but he was leaping and jumping and praising God. If you carry on reading the scriptures as he went into the temple. So you realize that what he had is something that I've unpacked with you that we do have. It's not that St. Peter's got it and nobody else has. No, Peter has it. We've seen Paul have it. I've seen John G. Lake have it. Smith Wigglesworth has it. I've seen A.A. Allen. Bosworth came and saw the healing through Val. My mom had polio for most of her life. At 54, I watched her leg grow out. It's today. It's not for, it was by and by. It's now. But what has happened? Our brains have been grooved with doubt and unbelief, saying, no, it's passed away. No, it's not for today. Or why didn't that person get healed? Or why didn't that person? They were good people. All this stuff that the enemy will throw at you. Better get on with my notes. But listen, I'm going to park when I have to park, and then we're going to go on. But I want to just relate it to you in this way. It's like a family that comes to the Flagler County area and makes a provision to pay off all your debts. Not only that, they've made provision that there is a bank account. They not only did that, they made provision so that you could have healing and wholeness. They made a provision that you could actually join them and become family with them. Well, I tell you what, if I heard about that, well, firstly, I've got to hear about that. That's of no use to me. I've known somebody's come to town, has created a bank balance for me, has paid off my debts, has made ways so I can walk healed, whole, delivered, set free, provided for. I don't know what benefit is that to me. Hence, we are called to share the gospel. So, yeah, the first thing I want to know is, who is this? Who is this family that's done it? And why did they do it? For God so loved. He Why did they do it? How can I connect with them? So I can just engage and say thank you and enjoy a relationship. And better still, how can I engage with the benefits? Man, I really don't want to go after the benefits because, man, this is a needy, dying world and I need the benefits. And so, you know, it's too good to be true news. But guess what? That news, heaven's family came down and touched earth. And what did they do? Did that very thing. Provided, made a way, and paid off, canceled debt. Man, it's edgy. All the things that you see in Scripture. You see all this. Heaven came down and gave us full access to Him as a family. Gave us access to all that He provided for. And here we are, totally oblivious to it. But the prophets have told us. Jesus in His gospel has told us. Luke writes about it in Acts and tells us about it. Peter writes in the epistles and tells us about it. And John, man, he just lives it and writes all about it, the Apostle John. And here we are, living in Grumble Alley, hardly get by street, and wanting to know what the heck. I want to tell you there's good news. There's great news. In fact, it's fantastic news that this heavenly family came down and made a way for you and I to live filled, victorious, with provision and ability to be the conduit through which divine favor flows. God's made that way, church. And we are in the dark, or we're living like it's not so. God's saying, please. So clearly, believing and receiving Jesus Christ releases God's fullness in and through us. And we've got to understand what that is, because we're sitting on this gold mine of relationship and provision and stuff. You see, Jesus and the Father and Holy Spirit did no half measures when they provided all this. I started when I was with a series saying that the whole creation, and there were no half measures when God dealt with creation and put it all together. He didn't only just say, okay, well, I'm going to just make enough for Adam and Eve and the kids, the handful of kids. No. He's made provision, and scientists say, for this earth, if it was managed properly, for 400 billion people, there's enough air, there's enough water, there's enough food. So in case the scientists made a huge mistake by 90%, well, this earth can still do 40 billion people. And here we are limping along at 7 billion. But God had provided back then. That was He had this thing planned out. How about salvation? How much did He plan and organize and invest into salvation that we haven't unpacked yet? And that's the good news that I'm talking about. I want to drill this good news into us every which way so we can actually wake up and smell the roses and realize, man, it's a good day to be alive. I have this provision. But I know that doubt and unbelief is gnawing at you. I don't think it's for me. I wasn't born that side of the railway track. No, come on. Get alive. Hallelujah. Because we're not living according to what God has provided for us. And so we live in as what Timothy 3:5, 2 Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. My gosh, you understand. The residency of Christ is powerful. Man, I'm spitting myself wet here. Hallelujah. Sorry, guys, up there in the live stream. That's why these front rows are sparse, okay? Okay. Hallelujah. What do we got to remember is, what is discipleship? Discipleship is moving from unbelief to belief in every area of our lives. From unbelief to belief. And I'm hoping that as we put the scriptures out there, as we continually repeat the scriptures, as we continually repeat this truth, that we're moving from doubt and unbelief to belief. So we can grab this and run with it, because there's a needy, dying world out there that needs to know that there is the family of God has come, kissed earth, and has provided a way for us to live in a full relationship with Him. And so we need to do that. And we understand this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. God, I keep telling you everything. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have gone, the new is here. You understand, as a spirit being, we are a spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotion, and we live in an earth suit. And that's the earth suit that will go back to the grave, but our spirit and our soul will live on. Our spirit man is the thing that gets born again. It comes brand new, and that is where the seat of God is, with his provision. And his power is seated in our spirit man, because that is holy, and it's incorruptible seed. We'll be born again with an incorruptible seed. So we're not a changed life, we're an exchanged life. I'm going to unpack the miracle of salvation to you, and it'll help your faith kind of get up. So the other things are easy meat to believe. If you realize, man, how simple it was to believe for salvation, don't get ahead of yourself. But I'll tell you what happened? Our identity changed. Our identity changed, our position changed, our future changed, our status changed, our citizenship changed. Man, does that ring a bell with you and with me as our citizen changed from being South African to American? Oh my gosh, you know how nice it is to walk up with my blue passport to that custom guy, and he doesn't have to snarl at me because I've got a green South African passport, and sends me down the yellow line to the Bin Laden cage. I am so happy. I am so happy when I can walk in there with my blue passport and he says, "Welcome home." Man, woo, you don't understand. You don't understand. 14 years I've waited for that. And even when you go to Israel and they, man, they're tighten security and they see that blue passport, come on through. I think, yes. Woo, I tell you what, but our citizenship changes. Our authority changes. Man, those lists are so good, I've got to tell you again. Our identity changes. Our identity changes. Our position changes. Our future changes. Our status changes. Our citizenship changes. Our authority changes. I tell you what. Why? Because something has happened at salvation. And it says here, his righteousness has come to us. We've got a list here. His righteousness has come to us. His spirit has come into us. His life has come into us. His power has come into us. Don't believe me? I'll put some scriptures up there just to remind you. But it says here we have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:17 or 4:7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. And realize that in this, God has taken, made a decision to take this earth suit and put this treasure of his power into it. Going on in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual. And you say, well, that's spiritual blessing one day, by and by in the heaven. What the heck is that useful for? I want steak on the plate, not pie in the sky. I want it right now. I want God's blessing. And he says, he has blessed us. He has blessed us, past tense. And so, hallelujah. And for you those that are memorizing scripture, this is a good one to remember. And 2 Peter 1:3 is a good one to remember. And I want to give you that one. It says, his divine power has granted to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Man, there's things that we need life into. We need that Zoe life to come in and sort out certain health issues, certain relationship issues, certain financial issues. And we have a godliness that puts us in that place of holiness, separated for the Master's use. He says, I have provided everything. My divine power has granted everything that pertains to life and godliness. And it goes on to Romans 8:11. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, where does it live? In this earthen vessel, in us. But doubt and unbelief won't believe that. The grooves are too deep. You've picked your rut. I am begging you. Trash the rut. Change the rut of thinking. You say, well, that's only quoted once. Well, then I quote it again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. I also pray, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. For who? For us. Why would you have this great power? Why? Who believe him? This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Man, we are selling ourselves short. We're stinking thinking. Stinking thing we got to get sorted out. So the title of my message, that was just an introduction to draw home. My main message is shorter than my introduction, so be of good cheer. Blessed are the short-winded, so they'll be invited back. I tell you, I can't waffle on forever. Get in, say it, land the plane. All right. So I wanted, this is my title, my message. Effective prayer. Now, if you're standing, understanding what I just told you, you're on a place you need to understand that you need to have, you have this potential of having effective prayer. Effective prayer. And let's unpack that. February has become now, in Coastal, a month where we pray and fast. Pray and fast for the month. It's kind of become a calendar issue. And I love it. Because our real year starts the 1st of March. Why? Because that's our anniversary. And we clock 15 years on the 1st of March. So it's going to be a Sunday. And I'm so happy. I'll tell you what. Praying with fasting brings a focus. Brings an attention. It is a time for us to reflect up, reflect in, and reflect out. It's time to take stock of some of the things that has come to us and come through us. And so fasting does that. It grabs our attention. It grabs our focus. Instead of just continually having that time of buffeting your body, you can sit down and say, God, let me have some introspective. Let me have some time where I can ponder on this thing. Let me have some time to focus on a direction. Have a look at my choices. Have a look at what I need to decide as a direction for this year to come. I want to just tell you, fasting is not there to manipulate God to do something for you and say, I have gone without meals for a whole week. Now you have to do this. Forget it. God will not move for that. The problem is you don't understand that he's already moved. And we just haven't lined up with it. And so we need to line up with what he's already done. But we don't do that. We think fasting is there to manipulate. But it gives us a time to stop, reflect, and adjust when we fast. It's all about us, sorting us out. Because we're the one that's missing the mark. And so for the year of fullness, the key is prayer. The key is prayer because we're going to unlock things. We're going to announce things. We're going to declare things. We're going to say things that are aligned. Well, the Bible says where two agree touching anything, it's done by my Father in heaven. He wants us to agree with him, with what he's provided for, so that we may accomplish this. So the next 3 weeks, I'm going to drill down on prayer, starting today. James 5:16b, it says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It says there, effective, fervent prayer of a righteous. Now, we've dealt with the issue of righteous. We understand when you come to Christ, we are righteous because of Christ's righteousness. So we already have got that box checked when we come to pray. It says there, it avails much. In NIV, it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You understand that the word in our mouth, this word in our mouth, is as powerful as the word in God's mouth. And so we need to make sure that we pray. But really, listen to what James 4:3 says here. Yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss. We realize, heck, all my asking is wrong. There's something wrong with my prayer. So effective prayer is making sure that we understand how to say what we need to say. Because many of us, like I used the illustration, Mark 11:23 and 24. I mean, Kenneth Hagin drilled that into us. So it kind of just reverberates out of it. He says, listen. It says, say unto the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt, when you say what you believe in your heart, then that mountain's moving. Yeah, but he says, listen, most of us go bleating to God about the mountain. God did this mountain this, and this mountain that. And God's saying, will you shut up and speak to the mountain about me, because it's going to obey and bow to me. Everything in heaven and earth will bow to the name of Jesus. So we need to understand that sometimes we can be sincere, but sincerely jolly wrong. You know? And so we think it's just going to be a magical thing because I said it. No. But Tony Fitzgerald, obviously, he's like the senior dad of Church of the Nations. Call him Velcro, because all us pastors kind of just cling to him because he just has the gift of encouraging us pastors. And he says, Rod, listen, if you come to, it's good and healthy for you to look at some of the things you believe, dig into it, have a look and see if it's correct. Because some of the stuff you've been handed down may just need to be examined. It may just need to be realigned. And if you go through the whole unpacking process and come to the same solution, he says, all great and good. But you may discover the Holy Spirit will just give you wisdom and realize that, man, I've been praying amiss. I've been believing amiss. I have not been correct in this. And he says, and guess what? Your life benefits from it. And guess what? Here Jesus is doing the same thing with his disciples. He was undoing all the religion that had now been included and added as prayer. He talked about it. I'll give you the reference. But I was looking at the Wailing Wall. And you got the guys that got the little curls here. And they got the little hat. And they do this all the time. I'm thinking, man, how many times did they butt their head against that prayer wall? It's just that I'm thinking, man, I've got it easy. I go into my war room, bow my knee. My dad just cuddles me, loves me. And I don't have to do this in the black jackets and black hat and sweating it against the... And it's just, oh, man, I looked at that and I think Jesus had to encounter this. And so Jesus had to go and teach his disciples how to effectively pray. Like I said, we can be sincere, but sincerely wrong. The wrong assumption, the wrong attitude, the wrong belief will affect your prayer. It will affect your prayer. And so we've got to look at it. And like I said, man, I am examining myself. So when I'm pointing this at you, guess what? Three fingers are pointing back at me. So we're working at this together. Okay? We're working at this together. I do not glow in the dark. I can switch the lights off and you can prove that. I am still a work in progress. I may not have arrived, but I have left. Okay? I'm on my way. Okay? I'm on my way. But Matthew 6, 5 through 13, Jesus is dealing with his disciples on this issue of prayer. And he needs to deal with things like hypocrisy. They'll be seen by men standing in the corner praying up. Got to deal with that. Deals with a heart issue. Got to deal with that. And then lots of words. The Bible calls that babbling. Man, some people can go on and on and on and on and on. Thinking, man, you know what really irritates me? I'm ready to cat out the bag here. When you stand in a line and you have to hold hands and be praying forever, my hands are getting sweaty. The guy's crushing my finger and hurting my ring. And this is all going through my head while I'm trying to be spiritual and praying. Please, can we not hold hands and just pray? Because it's sweaty, it's hot, it's irritating, it's uncomfortable. I can't stand and shout and wave my hands. I'm just letting the cat out the bag about me, okay? So now watch everybody join around and nobody will hold my hand up. I have to find some rejection tape. Rejection tape. But I tell you what, because we put, oh, Father, in the beginning and in the name of Jesus at the end, it doesn't mean that it's a good formula and it's not a magic formula for prayer. When those bookends, oh Father, and in Jesus' name, great bookends. But what are you saying in the middle? What are you saying between those bookends? Does it contain doubt and unbelief, or is it with faith? Is it aligned with what God has provided and said to be true? And we can line up with it. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to him must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, faith is. You know, without faith, it's impossible. So this faith issue is something that we've got to make sure. We can't manipulate or make God move. It's a heart issue. When you come and God looking at the heart. No, in 1 Corinthians 13, in the first three verses, man, I can lay my body down and burn, and I don't have love. It's nothing. If I can speak with men and angels, eloquence, but I do not have love, it is sounding gone. I can sell everything and give it to the poor, and if I don't have love, I tell you what, your heart attitude reveals your faith. And so we got to have a look at that and don't think of faith, not a formula, is key for the prayer. We're so quick to go for formulas. It's like, I don't want to give you a formula. It's like the Lord's Prayer. people take it as a formula. I go to these different occasions when I have to go to funerals of these different denominations or these different religions. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And it's repetitious and saying it. It's like a mantra. You don't understand that when Jesus was teaching how to correctly pray and they're asking, how do I pray? He was just saying, listen, I'm going to give you some guidelines, some headings. Our Father, Dad, you're in heaven. You're seated in the most authoritative place. And you've given me authority. Hallowed be your name. Your name is to be praised. I come and thank you that you as a family came and rescued me. And you start using it as headings to help you pray. And I'm standing here declaring your kingdom come. It has come, it's coming today, and it's coming tomorrow. And I'm declaring, I'm standing, agreeing, I'm going to see kingdom come to my children. I'm going to see kingdom come to my workplace. I am declaring your kingdom come. And you start using the Lord's Prayer like that. Then, it's not the Lord's Prayer really, it's the disciples' prayer, because it was a prayer that has to go to the disciples to teach the disciples. So we don't understand that, yes, we need to have the understanding of the verbiage to pray. But we've got to make sure we're saying it right. I mean, asking the wrong thing doesn't give you the right answer. I mean, it doesn't work like that. And I want to tell you that doubt and unbelief, it coexists with faith. Understand, it's in the same place. And I want to try and just let you know that it coexists. And it's depending which one you feed is the one that gives you faith or no faith. It's like the white dog and the black dog that goes that the hunter had. And every time they came back to the tavern after hunting, they would have a bet which dog would win, and they would put the dogs against each other. Pet lovers, animal lovers, I'm sorry. No. But one dog, and they would always bet which dog, the black dog was going to wipe it, or the white dog's going to win. Which one's going to win? And they would gamble and put their money down. And every time the hunter, the owner of the dogs, would always win. He says, how come you always win? One day it's the white dog, the next day it's the black dog. How can you? He says, it's the dog that I feed that will win. The dog that you feed is one that's going to win, whether you have faith or doubt or unbelief. So I'm like, church, we've got to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. We've got to guard ourselves. It's just okay. This movie's okay. This thing's okay. No, careful. It affects your heart. Okay, moving on here, but I want to just say this. Jesus, listen to Jesus talking to a father, and a father whose son was demon-possessed. I tell you what, I feel for the father. He is desperate, and he's come, and he brings his son to, and he's obviously questioning, can you do anything as far as this is concerned? And this is the returning dialogue coming from Jesus here in Mark chapter 9, 23. He says, what do you mean, if I can? He's questioning. And don't you know my heart? Haven't you seen me heal all these people? How can you question me? And Jesus answered, anything is possible if a person believes. And verse 24 says, the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Can you see? Belief and unbelief can sit side by side in your life. And so if I have two strong stallions pulling one way and the identical strength of two stallions pulling the other way, guess what? They ain't moving because they stay stationary. And many times our results of our prayer stay stationary because doubt and unbelief is fighting against belief. And you have it in the same house. And so it's very real. Don't get all over yourself. It happens with me. But what I do, I shovel out unbelief. And I say, it's written. And I read to myself. And I remind myself. And by the time I get to the place where I'm going to, okay, tackle this in prayer. Sometimes you've got to pray before you pray. Say, Father, how do I pray this thing through? What? Give me wisdom, Holy Spirit, so I can announce to the powers that be. So I can announce your kingdom come. How can I do that? And that's praying before I pray. And you see, many times, Paul did it. Peter did it. These people did it. They went and prayed before they prayed. And so we need to understand that. And so faith is the finished work of God. It's the finished work that we've got to understand this key. Faith, listen to this, and maybe it's up on the the next slide. It says faith is a positive response to what God has already provided by grace. So when you know what's been provided by grace, we stand there in that place confidently declaring. Because why? I know what the word says. I know what God's provided. So faith is a positive response to what God, I know, he has provided by his grace. And that makes effective prayer, makes it effective. If you don't know what God has done and you and made available, then prayer is seldom fruitful. Because we're just guessing. God, if it be thy will. Heck, find out what his will is. It's written in here. And I can say, it's written. You know, when the devil came at Jesus in the wilderness, he said, listen, it's written. It's written. And so we need to know what's written. No, that's what Rod says. Don't trust what Rod says. Find out what's written. And make sure that we know what's written. And when asking God to do, to move and provide, when he has already done so and moved and provided, it's fruitless. How can you ask for something that's already been given for you, given to you? It's like asking for a Bible when I've got a Bible right here. God says, I've provided this, but you don't know what my word says. You don't understand the package you got at salvation. And so, yeah, we have this. Jesus has atoned, provided forgiveness, healing, deliverance, provision, and eternity. He has done that. Past tense, he's done it. It's not only, and it doesn't happen automatically. We have to walk into it. We have to walk understanding and believing it. And then you start seeing it manifest. I wanted to tell you that the spirit world is more real than what you and I are seeing right here. But the Western world struggles with that. Just go to the East. You clearly understand that there's a spirit world and it's more real than this. That's God's realm. Whew, alpha realm. One must believe and receive by faith. A gift is given and is not received. If a gift is given, it's not yours until you receive it. I mean, I can tell my kids, man, I've got gifts for you, and stays under the Christmas tree. Well, it ain't going to be theirs until they go and get it, until they receive it. Our gift is on the tree. It's been on the tree, come off the tree, and it's available for us. That's the gift that we have. So, here, it says here, we are talking about effective prayer. Believing is the key. Let's look at effective prayer for salvation. Man, I want to pump you up, understanding that most of you have prayed this prayer in this room, and it is the biggest and the greatest miracle that's ever happened to your life. And you will look at sickness, disease, or any provision as, man, this is a pushover compared to what salvation did in my life. And it's important that we see that. Can't ask God to save you, your friend or your foe. Just trying to help you with prayer. Can't ask God to save them. Why? He's already done it. But you can ask God, make provision, make a way, bring them across paths where people will tell them that they'll see a billboard, that they may receive what you've already done. Because he's cleared the deck. It's not a sin issue anymore. It's a relationship issue. And that's what happens. So salvation has already been provided. It requires believing and receiving. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to all who believe in him, Jesus, and accept him, Jesus, he, Jesus, gave the right to become children of God. No maybes, no ifs, nothing. He says, if you believe in him, that's it. You become a family. How about the jailer, the Philippian jailer, asking Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Did they reply? Well, you must start living right. Ask to be saved. Ask to be forgiven, start going to church, serving, start tithing. Then God will do a special work and save you. Man, that sounds like religion. You've got to jump through all the hoops. But guess what? The Christianity says it's done. It's done. So how do they answer? How did Paul and Silas answer the jailer? No, they replied. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No great confession, no begging and pleading, no having to tithe, no confession box, nothing. Just believe and you receive. the unbelievable miracle of God. See, he didn't have to do all that. Believing means that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived, he died, he rose. He canceled our sin. He provided all healing. He freed us from all the curse and the death and death and made us family with him. Easy me when you believe in the Son of God. It's done deal for all mankind. But it requires us to believe in it. Otherwise, it's not appropriate to our lives. It doesn't have any effect. I'll put these next two sentences up on the screen. It says, praying and agreeing with what God has done is effective prayer. Praying and asking God to do things he already has done is ineffective prayer. That's the sum of my whole sermon. That's it. Amen. Up in close. That's it. You're asking God for something that he's already done. Instead of standing in the closet and say, God, you have provided, I stand, I declare, I announce, I speak. Why? Because I have authority. I'm a king's kid. I have identity. I have status. I have citizenship. I have the right to declare what my dad has provided for me. But doubt and unbelief has moved the brain. Hallelujah. Our mandate is to share the good news. Now, when we hear these news on these great different outlets that we have come to our devices, news isn't prophetic. It isn't something about the future. News is about past tense. Good news is about what God has done. So we need to understand we have good news, and our mandate is to share that good news with those that there. The good news of forgiveness and family and freedom and healing and provision, which is available for us today. Look at the miracle of salvation when we believed. What happened? The debt of sin was canceled. It's important that you understand this. The debt of sin was canceled the moment I believed. Awesome. Unbelievable. You understand what happened in the spirit world. My slate was cleared. The bill was sorted out. It was canceled. Thinkers, those that think, can I talk to you? Was your debt paid or was your debt canceled? I'm going to leave that for homework this week. There's a difference. Difference in the character of our God. But let me give you a clue. Colossians 2:14. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So when those suckers think that they were hurting Jesus and the nails were getting driven into him, our debt was being canceled at every strike and every stroke. Our sin was canceled. 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 When your debt is canceled, it's a yippee day. It is. We want to understand. That's what took place when I believed. When suddenly the lights came on in that school hall and I realized that Jesus had paid it all, had canceled my debt, and I responded to it, something happened. My debt was canceled. That was one thing that happened. I changed from one kingdom to another. You know how long it takes me to move from South African kingdom to American kingdom? Whole 16 hours of flight. Instantaneously, I moved from the kingdom. Colossians 1:13 says here, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Instantly. Miracle. A miracle. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we become a new creation. A new creation instantly when I believe. When I said, yes, Jesus, you're my Savior. Woo! In that hall. All that took place in me. Amazing miracle. Not only that, he downloaded his righteousness. He downloaded his life. He downloaded his spirit. And he downloaded his power into me. Instantly. Just because I believe. I tell you what. Rags to riches event happened there. Man, I was transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his life. From a godless to a God-filled eternity. Just like that. By believing and agreeing on what God had already done. Went from death to life. From sinner to saint. From a destiny of hell to heaven. Hallelujah. And from a place of hopelessness to a place of hope. The question is, Did I have to fast? Did I have to memorize scripture? Did I have to quote scripture? Did I have to go to the confession box? Did I have to behave first before I believed? Did I have to attend a church, tithe, and serve? No. I just had to believe. And salvation came to me. So it's not a doing thing. It's a done thing that we are looking at here. It's a salvation. So no. We believe, we receive, and the greatest miracle that will ever take place in your life took place right at that moment. And I want you to understand it. So when we look at believing for miracles, for healing and deliverance and provision, you've got to understand, you've got to persuade yourself, man, this is easy meat. It's easy. It's a pushover compared to what salvation did. And I just believe. And God says, if you would just believe. Close with Spokane, Washington. John G. Lake, my hero. Unbelievable. He raised up teams and called them healing practitioners. And they would go to, you know, obviously got multiple calls of people sick, lame, and had needs. And he would send them out with a bottle of oil and say, don't come back until they heal. The longest any team ever stayed out was 3 weeks. Every one of them came back with 100% healing. 110,000 records of healing. You know what? I bet they got there and they would start talking about what God has provided. Allow them to believe. And when they believe, they could be in a place where faith would allow them to receive the healing. I'm telling you, I'm talking in the face of seeing our dearest sister-in-law die of cancer. I've seen my sister pass away. My brothers have passed away. My mom's passed away. My dad's passed away. But I stand here still declaring to you today that our God heals today. Yeah. I'm not going to back off it. I'm not going to back off it. If there is an issue, it's with me. There's an issue with my doubt and unbelief. And I don't understand what. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to fast. I'm going to check it out. But I'm telling you what. I want to see healing flow in Coastal Family. I want you guys to go to Walmart, pray for people. Go to the school, pray for people, and get people healed, set free, and delivered. Because why? We're the carriers of God's goodness and His grace. And so we need to have a look at that. And so when Jesus took His disciples, this is before He had died and gone to heaven and came back and presented the Holy Spirit. These are just fishermen. He sent them out in Matthew 10:6, and He says, and Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven was near because He hadn't gone to Calvary yet. The kingdom of heaven is now here. Not near anymore. It's here. And what does the kingdom of heaven do? It says, yeah, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those that are leprosy, cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. We have received something in us, church, that requires us to release it because it's provision. I want us to understand, what did they receive? They received the incredible power of God to be able to speak to things, announce things, declare things. And so I want us to understand that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man and a woman will avail much. Church, I'm going to keep drilling this until we start moving. Until we're going to have the guts to just pick up your hand and lay it. Believers will lay hands on the sick. And the Bible says they will recover. By Jesus' stripes, you have been made whole. I mean, there's no if, maybes, or buts. Nothing. That's what's happened. And so I am wrestling against doubt and unbelief in this room like you cannot believe. I can feel, man, everybody's got their questions, their doubts, their arguments. Yes. Stack them up against the Word of God, and I want to see where they go. Stack them up against the Word of God. He healed all their diseases. Paul gets shipwrecked on Malta. And what does he do? First, he gets bitten by a snake. Stupid snake. Doesn't he understand that the power of God exists in Paul's body? He shakes it off into the fire. Snake lovers, I'm sorry, but they got roasted. Snake got roasted. He then rises up and then and starts ministering and heals everybody on that island that's sick. Why? He has an understanding. Peter had an understanding. John G. Lake had an understanding. Smith Wigglesworth has an understanding that we have this power in earthen vessels. No pressure, but why don't you try? No pressure. Believe God. Believe God. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm stopping there. Stop. We're 15 minutes, far too long. Sorry. I apologize. Hallelujah. Musicians, please, if you join me here. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the musicians to sing through one of the songs that they sang or maybe what they prepared. I'm going to sing it through once. If in that time you want to get prayed for, elders, those that pray for the needs in the, I want you just to come forward while we're singing that song. Then the musicians are just going to play instrumentally. Joey's going to dismiss us for those that want to have coffee and fellowship, which is very important because it's body ministry. We want to pray for those that come up. I don't want you to leave with a need. I don't want you. I want you, no, man, we're going to keep pounding it, keep pounding it. I may have to keep you here 3 weeks until you get whole, but hallelujah, we'll hold you. No, I won't do that. But I want us an opportunity to have God touch you. Because Christ in us is ready to release His goodness and His greatness. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I just say this? If you haven't responded to this invitation, and realize it's not a sin issue anymore, church. It's a relationship issue. And Jesus has put the invitation out there. It says, so whosoever call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if you call upon Him, would you believe in Him? Would you invite Him into your life? He will come take residency. He will bring this awesome miracle that I spoke about into your life, setting you free, transferring you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. In an instant, He will do that. He will cancel the sin of death that's hanging upon us. If that's you, just pray with me. We as a church are going to pray out loud. Those in the live streaming with us, pray with us. Say, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God and that You died on that cross for me. You canceled my sin. And I thank You. Today I receive You as my Lord, as my leader, as my Savior, as the one who canceled my sin. I receive You now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.